Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Members, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, Townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
Population Vaughn.
Baron Vaughn. Welcome to the show.
That is a fantastic intro. Right. I am so happy to be here.
We sing it like we're all three Richard Simmonses. Baron Vaughn.
Do you guys remember? I'll take it. Like 10 years ago at Earwolf Studios when someone did a magic trick for all four of us and you guys ran around the room.
Oh, yeah.
And Baron was like, yep, that was pretty good. That was a
Baron
great
was
trick.
Calm about it and we just like, I ran like I was doing laps somewhere. Yeah. I mean, that's what
I
do.
Why someone was doing magic in the Earwolf Studios. That was in the early days.
We don't get to see much, but I don't see magic. I don't see a lot of up close magic.
Really?
Not a lot of up close magic.
That's true. It's kind of like one of those art forms that people don't get to experience that much, where you're like, oh, you're right here.
The fact that when they happen so fast, you think you can see what's going on, and then you think you can see.
You think you can see.
Mistakes what is there. Mm-hmm. That's what you know what? I actually believe that is that turning of the trick. Mm-hmm. Is the same thing in terms of stand-up. It's like when I see you do stand-up or Dan or when we do it on stage, it's like you rub the sticks together, a spark comes up, and something happens that the normal person can't see that it happens, but you're into a show. It's into a thing, and it's like it's
you
almost
push
a
the
sleight
button.
Of hand.
You push the buttons.
Yeah.
Sleight of hand. Well, I wish we were in the same room, but you're far away from us, and I'm just happy that you're with
here,
us and with us. So, but the world is dumber. Has it not gotten dumber in the pandy in the last several years? I think it's gotten way dumber, like exponentially dumber.
Yes, you know, dumber and crazy. Mm-hmm. There's a fine line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so
they're next to each other on the cul-de-sac,
which is perfect for the first story because we have both of those
dumb and crazy.
Yes,
I love that you brought that up. Well, let's jump into a story.
Yeah, let's do it.
Baron Vaughn, and then we'll find out all the great things that he's doing and where you can
how you
see
can
him.
Support him, how you can follow him,
consume the many projects he's a part of.
This was sent in by Megan Laskowski at Soymates Forever and the number 4 EVA. Soymates for EVA. Okay,
not soulmates.
Right,
Soymates.
Okay, this comes from the TC Palm. Which means it was written by Will Greenlee, but it is not a Greenlee. He's not doing any of his flourish. There's a guy, Baron, who writes these articles and adds so much more extra information than you would never need, over-explains things, but this is just straight-up dumb stuff in Florida.
Okay.
Headline is, Molotov cocktail attack in Fort Pierce.
That's just a thing.
It's an attack with Molotov cocktails. How mad are you at somebody that you're like, I'm going to make a Molotov cocktail.
I'm going to light something on fire in my hand and throw it at somebody.
Yes. Didn't everybody see Bronx Tale? That never works out. as the police investigation.
I'd be too worried.
Yeah.
What a
oh,
pull.
My God. Yeah. Oh, thanks, partner. As the police investigation of an apparent Molotov cocktail attack at a home continues.
At a home.
Yes.
This isn't even like I'm disgruntled. I'm coming back to the office.
Neighbors on Thursday remarked about the incident but did not seem overly concerned. And that's what
that
this story is
Florida,
about.
That is Florida. That the neighbors are like, hey, if a Molotov cocktail incident happened in your new neighborhood, Baron, you'd be like, that's all I'm talking about the entire time I'm living here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone took the time to collect all of the alcohol around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And throw it at you.
Light it on fire.
Yeah.
Light it on fire.
They gave up a good rag.
I think I think a Molotov cocktail is like a baked Alaska gone wrong.
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
This story.
More fire.
Yeah. More fire.
This story, though, is about the neighbors who weren't concerned.
Right.
Because they are wild cards, every single one of them.
Yeah.
Fort Pierce police on Monday asked for help in identifying a man accused of throwing two Molotov cocktails at a home.
Two rags, Dan. Two rags.
Yeah. He threw Molotov cocktails, two of them, at a home on Sunday, igniting a fire but causing minimal damage. Is that even worse?
So he's like,
wow. You got all that trouble, you don't even do anything.
You don't throw a Molotov cocktail at a brick house, I'll tell you that.
That's a good Jim Croce song.
You know, Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind.
Take it home.
You don't throw two Molotov cocktails at a brick house, and you don't mess around with Jim.
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. Proud of both of you. Proud of all of us.
Forget Broadway. I am so happy I'm on the show.
But how, like, what does it say when you're like, what are you doing? I'm making a goddamn Molotov cocktail. You're going to go throw that at Jim's house? You're goddamn right I am.
You want me to make two?
They're not even going to see me come. Wow.
Again,
you go and do it, and then you cause almost no damage.
Right.
You fail. It's such buildup. It's like the whip guy in Indiana Jones. Like all this flurry.
And then he gets shot.
Yeah.
Or the knife guy. I think it was the knife guy.
Yeah, machete.
Here's my thing. There was a store on Beverly. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a tire shop. I don't think
probably
it's there
money
anymore.
Laundering.
No, it was a tire shop on Gardner and Beverly on the north.
I do remember it.
Northwest side of the street. And they had a rotating tire up on top of the sign, two tires. And they used regular size tires. They didn't use like oversized, prop tires. And the regular tires were too small.
Yeah.
And you could tell that they're like, well, just put two tires up there and rotate. And they're too high up. They need to be bigger.
Didn't draw attention.
You miscalculated. And now it's on display. We're all watching your miscalculation every time we drive
if
by.
If Randy's Donut used a regular size donut. Donut.
Yeah.
It's not right. So right. Your miscalculation is now on full display. That's what happened to this guy.
Yes. Right?
He miscalculated.
I also think this person forgot to work on their arm.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe. Could be that too. Hit the pitching cage a little
bit. You gotta get that muscle in shape. You gotta make sure your shape is right.
Have you thrown out a first pitch, Dan?
No.
Have you ever thrown out a first pitch at a game?
That sounds like one of my many nightmares. I have never. That's an anxiety nightmare and a half for me.
That's a dream you like.
Throw out
a
first pitch and then hit somebody's grandmother.
Right. Sure.
Dude. I love that you said
left and it hit Carly Rae Jepsen. we've thrown out first pitches and
it's
like
farther than you think and
it's scarier than you think. There's like
because you're gonna put it in the dirt, right?
Yeah, they want to throw high. Always throw high because a catcher can always
stand
up
and
get it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
those are professionals that do that.
Right.
Right.
You guys, we're not.
Police say this took place at about 11:40 a.m. on a Sunday. This is church time.
On a Sunday. The Lord's Day.
They went to the scene at the 1200 block of Avenue L. Mm-mm. Video released by police shows a person run up, throw the firebomb at or in a window, and it burst into flames. A second Molotov cocktail hit the roof, rolled off, hit the ground, and then ignited.
Oh, my God.
But it didn't neither of these caused very much damage at all.
Why? They just threw a blanket on each thing? I don't know.
A man at the purple single-story home declined comment Thursday, but neighbors stepped in to share their thoughts, which is always, you're in Florida, get the cul-de-sac over here.
Get everybody over here.
What do you think happened,
right,
lady who hasn't left her house in 12 years?
Josh Fisher, a neighbor, said, quote, I haven't lost any sleep at night. It'll be all right. Whatever they got going on, they got going on.
Hey, Josh, we weren't talking about you.
Wow.
We want to know what you
thought. Josh, we're not talking about COVID.
Right.
Tell us what you think about what just happened in this.
But what do you have going on that you don't even want to get? You don't even want to comment on somebody else's Molotov cocktails being thrown. Like, hey, whatever they got going on. You guys just leave me alone.
Again, Baron, this would be the biggest news story. Like, it'd be like, I can't believe this happened in our neighborhood. Like, this is crazy town.
Sure.
And this guy's like, I'm not losing sleep over it.
Josh Fisher said he came outside and police asked whether he'd seen anything, but he said he had not.
Okay.
Quote, this is his quote. So, quote, somebody did something to anger somebody. I got shot twice. That stuff just kind of happens, you know?
This is not whatever.
I applaud that person.
I got shot twice. I just kind of know that stuff happens. This is the perfect street to be throwing Molotov cocktails because no one cares.
Yeah. Where do you live? On Minimize Lane?
Avenue L.
I guess this is the neighborhood where a Molotov cocktail is equal to like a good old-fashioned fist fight.
Yeah,
that's the bar.
Right.
Yeah, so he threw it. So he knocked over her garbage can.
Who hasn't had that happen to them?
I clipped a few roses, threw a Molotov cocktail. What?
Big
it's
deal.
It's Sunday.
It's big the same deal. Thing. Sunday at 11:40 a.m.
It's what we do on this street.
He said, quote, "I feel like it couldn't happen any other way moving out here from Chicago, so it's all right."
Wait, it's not all right.
It's not
it
all
could,
right.
And it could have Aaron. Happened a million other ways.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
A Molotov.
Like all roads don't lead to two Molotov cocktails, one off the roof and one through
guys,
a window.
It was inevitable.
And the house is
this thing that has
they
never happened.
They did cross over. How the house is purple.
Yeah.
Very much smallly mentioned.
Who owns the house? It's Prince's nephew.
It is. It's crazy.
Guys, there's
Squire?
This thing that's never this thing that's never happened
Duke.
Anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This thing that's never happened anywhere is just this is inevitable.
It's I mean,
inevitable.
I guess if you have been shot twice, you're like cocktails, Molotov yeah. cocktails. Well, I've been
really?
Shot twice. I just moved here.
That's amateur hour.
Just yeah. for fun, how old do you guys want to guess Josh Fisher is?
The guy
Josh
who Fisher, commented that this doesn't matter.
He said, whatever they got going on, they got going on. I haven't lost any sleep.
Thank God.
He hadn't seen anything. I've been shot twice. Somebody did something to somebody.
Mm-hmm. 52?
How old? 52? Jay?
38.
38?
64.
Josh Fisher, before we meet our next neighbor, is 34 years old.
Oh, very nice. I said 38.
Here, next guy. Another neighbor. Just on name alone, we could tell you what he sells at the flea market.
Let's talk about it.
Randy Luzar. Loser. L-U-Z-A-R.
Loser.
But he goes, it's Luzar.
It's Luzar. What do you sell?
Loser.
I sell leather-scented candles. You got a problem with that?
I sell the blankets that other people use at this flea market. How do they get them? I have them.
He said... I was like, wow, nothing ever that big happened on our street since I've been here, Randy Luzar said.
Oh, my goodness.
And then his wife pat him on the shoulder for putting together a sentence.
Luzar said he's lived in the area about 2 years. You've only been there 2 years.
Wow.
It's not like you've been here 47 years.
Yeah, you can't say ever since
back
I've been
in the
here.
Good old days. When? 2020?
Right.
This is a person who moved to that neighborhood thinking they were going to be the mayor of that neighborhood.
That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're trying to establish it in the press.
Right. Yes.
Let
Every
me do
day.
This through my comments
in
on
all
this
my in all my time in this neighborhood. You moved here in 2020. Well, since the beginning.
He was home at the time. Quote from Randy Luzar. I must have had my headphones on or something. I didn't hear anything until I came out. He said he started asking around and was told someone threw a Molotov cocktail. Him going around the neighborhood. What happened? I had headphones in.
No, his headphones
take off
are
take off your headphones now so I can tell
They're
you.
They're still on.
Okay,
he's
Randy.
Talking too loud.
I was
loud.
Listening to Vintage Quincy Jones. You're welcome
okay.
to come in.
Okay,
anytime.
Randy. Okay, Rand. Okay, Randy.
I've got some Hendrix 45s. You're
all, right,
all welcome.
All right,
anytime,
loser.
Randy's house.
And they're like foam, like that orange foam headphones.
Yeah.
Like they're definitely not AirPods.
You guys ever play Hi-Li?
He's listening to Beck. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
I am. I'm a loser.
I am. That song's about me.
Ben Perdedor. I'm Randy Luzar, baby.
I know. Randy Luzar.
That song must have been torture for him when that came out.
Yes. Terrible.
Rough time for him.
Randy Luzar said, this is what he left the reporter with before walking away. Quote, a lot goes on this street unmentioned. A lot goes on this street unmentioned. Especially the on, back-to-back on-ons.
A lot goes on this street unmentioned. So to me, like whoever I've Greenlee did go to report on the story, he's like, I'm going to go and these people are going to be like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right
and then
back.
They show up and it's like, nope.
None of us care.
This is how this works.
Wow.
This is nothing compared to the guy who has a sex dungeon two doors now. What?
Right. Police spokesperson.
I still think he's trying to establish himself as the mayor. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll keep your secrets.
Right, uh-huh, guys.
Let you know in the press, it like, goes unmentioned. Randy's house.
Randy
Luzar. You're all welcome.
You tell people I gave you that coupon for a free skillet queso at Chili's.
Yep.
You tell people.
And then he mimes zipping his mouth and throwing away a key.
Police spokesman Curtis Jennings said investigators are, quote, still trying to turn over every stone, which is an odd way to put that because you turn over, we're turning over every stone. He goes, we're trying to turn over every
stone.
We
can't, look, we're a police department.
Have you talked to these neighbors?
I know.
They don't even care.
Isn't it leaving no stone unturned?
Yes.
A lot of things happen on this thing unmentioned.
Yeah. Don't mention that.
Don't mention that. It's turning over a new leaf, and it's leaving no stones unturned.
All cases, Jennings said, are taken seriously, but this one is especially brazen, happening in broad daylight. I love that that offends him even more.
Yeah.
According to a report, people at the scene, quote, advised they had no beef with anyone, and they had no idea who the male could have been. They're all locked up here.
This is like,
don't disrupt
our peaceful like neighborhood cops. Where Molotov cocktails
like
go off.
Like a thin blue line.
Jennings implored those with information to come forward. Someone out there in our public knows this person, Jennings said. All it takes is one phone call. I'll get out of here this. How old do you think Randy Loser is?
Randy Loser. How old is
L-U-Z-A-R.
Moved to the neighborhood 2 years ago. Like Barron said, trying to be the mayor of this hood.
A lot of unmentioned issues.
A lot of stuff goes unmentioned on these streets.
By design.
He had his headphones in. He didn't hear it.
The orange headphones. The phone.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining.
That's our spin on it.
What do you say, Barron?
Ooh. 46.
Jay? I was feeling that higher age thing. I'm going to say 58.
58?
I think he's 38.
38?
Yeah.
Okay, we got out of story one here because Randy Loser, or Lazar.
Loser.
Is 64 years
old. Oh, old man.
The mayor. He wants to be the mayor.
My headphones were on.
He's running for office. He's running for alderman.
Yeah. Alderman.
Yes.
Street alderman. He either has those headphones.
I used to be a deacon.
He either has headphones that have an antenna that are. Like it's the radio in the headphones. And it's a radio.
How many times has he yelled at his wife?
I'm getting the game right now, guys.
How many times has Randy Loser yelled at his wife? No, my other hat. My hat.
My going out
I
hat.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
My hat.
I thought this was the hat.
Oh, I love that story number one.
Oh, God.
Please.
Barron Vaughn is with us. I'm so happy. It's Dumb People Town. We're going to find out what he's got going on, how you can support him, and all the stuff we're doing on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the show. Before we get into how you can support and follow Barron Vaughn. Daniel Van Kirk has
just
some
came back from his
yeah,
win
we're
this
recording
drops.
It ahead of time, but I'm sure it was insanely wild hosting the Red Bull Soapbox races. So I thank everybody who came out to Des Moines, Iowa for that. Go to Daniel Van Kirk to look for all my dates. And as you've heard me say, I want townies and even people from my pen pals to come be involved. I start out the show. I welcome everybody in. And then if you've got a Dumb People Town headline, I'd love to hear it. We'll say a little hello to each other back and forth, and then we'll get the show going. So grab tickets for that and be a little bit a part of the show.
DanielVanKirk.com. And then for us, you can join our Patreon. We're doing new episodes of Cheap Seats, Cheaper Seats, all to wet the whistle as we do our brand new show, The Nosebleeds, which will be UFC Fight Pass. It is so – we love these episodes so much. 6 glorious episodes of the show. It's going to be out. We're getting it out there to the world, and we are going to need you guys once they drop to watch them, tell everyone that you enjoy them, and that's the way it goes. You get it on UFC Fight Pass. So check all that out. Superscholars.com is our website. Barron, where can people see you? New season of MST3K, all that good stuff, all the stuff.
Yes, well, thank you very much for mentioning that, Randy. There is the new season of MST3K that is out on a new streaming platform.
Let's hear it.
Its own streaming platform called the Gizmoplex.
Yes.
Love it.
So dope.
Without the echo. The Gizmoplex.com. And then also there is the final season of Grace and Frankie dropped on Netflix. And it's the end.
What a great run.
Six?
Yeah.
Was it 6 seasons?
7 seasons.
7
wow,
seasons.
Wow, man.
Good for you, man. Wonderful.
7 and an seasons.
An opportunity
8 years
to work
of my life.
8 years of your life.
And a chance to work with like comedy gold and just, you know, like.
Oh, absolutely. And then to kind of to learn and watch like Lily Tomlin and, you know, Jane Fonda go at it and see how they craft their stuff and like the rhythm that they have with each other. That is a real rhythm. That's what I was actually just thinking watching the three of you before. Yeah. The damn rhythm the three of you have together. It's like listening to music a little bit for me. Wow. Oh, it's like comedy music right here. So
yeah,
that's what it's, you know, watching you guys have your chemistry. It's like that same thing, but their version of it.
Did you just see it from it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in scenes with these guys, and did you see or watching them do their thing? And did you see, like, was there a thing that they either of them did? I just remember, and I'm thinking about it this week because as we're recording this, this is a week that very sadly Ray Liotta passed away, and Jay and I got a chance to work with him on Wild Hogs. This dude was the best ever I've ever seen on any set that we've ever done at taking whatever was going on in his, whatever's going on off the set or what in it, whatever's happening, he brought it into the scene. I've never seen anyone do that. So like Peter Fonda, speaking of Fonda, Peter Fonda was in the movie with us. And the dude shows up and he doesn't know his lines. And meanwhile, Ray Liotta's got to confront him. And Ray Liotta is so pissed that this guy's like not standing on his mark and not going and doesn't know his lines and comes back after lunch from whatever he took or drank at
in
lunch.
In the middle of the scene, he lifted him off the ground, moved him to his spot.
And was like, stand here, old man. And he like just used all this, like all the anger that you could tell he was having at Peter Fonda for not being professional enough to show up and care about the thing.
He put it into the take, and it was the best take ever.
I'm like, this guy is it? So anyway, we gleaned that from him. I'm wondering if there was any of that that you gleaned from these guys.
What an incredible story. I mean, like, it's just like watching them be so damn real and really work really hard on it to understand the scene or understand the character or understand the emotion in this place where they're not thinking about it anymore.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
The best.
And just watch them like work it hard when they're like not filming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were like, especially Jane and Lily, like there's a lot for them to do. You know what I mean?
Heavy.
There's a lot for them to do on this show. And they really like shot it in a way where, and wrote it in a way where they're together a lot. So like them having their real chemistry and like, you know, I would assume like it was a little bit like that, but most of the time it's like them trying to be in the state of comfort. And the thing that I loved the most about being on this set with these people from this generation, with Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston as well.
Yeah.
They were on sets before cell phones.
Yeah.
So it's like in between takes, they actually just kind of talk to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it sounds cheesy, but it's like as simple as like not watching, like, you know, I came up on sets where cell phones were regular. So there's always like the moment to take away.
Sure.
Go look at the cell phone. They kind of go to their whole trailer for privacy for that. But when they're on set, they either are trying to talk to each other or work on the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things are the same thing in a way.
Yeah. Yes, because you talk about the chemistry of like actually literally understanding the way they communicate to each other when they're not doing the scene.
Absolutely.
And then bringing
natural rhythm into the thing. And it's like that's one of the biggest things that I witnessed happen all of the time.
Great.
It's so cool. Good.
And then on like the other end of the spectrum, the craziness that is Mystery Science Theater of commenting on hilarious and crazy shit, which again, it's like there is Mystery Science Theater. We owe a debt of gratitude to them for, you know, for our show Cheap Seats and now the Nosebleeds. We're forever linked with those guys and what they do. But you and Jonah and Hampton, it's like you guys are our favorites. And so the three of you guys being just super silly and as funny as you can be, sniping just out of
just
thin
more
air.
Jokes per minute than anything.
It's so fun
that.
To watch. It's like another skill, you know, from what you just described.
And just like you say, it's like Mystery Science Theater 3000 is something that has been so present in comedy culture for as long as all of us have been around.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's influenced so many generations. So it's like bringing it back, it's kind of like watching it influence other people that don't even know that they're already in the lineage.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Dude, to be a part of it. For you to be a part of it, to be in that, now you're part of that history of that show, is that has to feel amazing because it was.
Yeah, it's fantastic, but it's also a lot of pressure.
I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is, actually, at first, but you guys established your own thing, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people who were nervous, you know, suffice it to say, mostly us, you know, about bringing it back. Yeah. But we felt like really confident with what we did, you know, and what we made because we're making the show. Yeah. And having Joel's guidance is a whole different, you know, that's the thing that really put people over. It's like, oh, we're not just like doing it ourselves. We're not, you know, we're like literally linked to the lineage.
Yeah, linked to the original. It's the only show I've ever seen that's had cast changes and that, and it just is a, it's the same thing, but it's a different version. And I just think it's every incarnation has been amazing. And I love Mike Nelson. I love, you know, Bill Corbett. I love those guys. And, you know, of course, the three of you guys are like, again, friends of ours who we've sort of come up with. So I just, I love that show so much. I'm so excited. A new season. How many episodes total? 10, 12?
I actually have absolutely no idea. Gizmo but also, Plex. I wanted to shout out to Kevin Murphy, the, you yes, know, the best. Servo, and J. Elvis Weinstein.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah, amazing. Hell yes. Love Hell those yes. dudes. Love All them. Right, let's jump into another Ready? Story, shall we? Let's yes. do it.
Sent in by Joseph Gaccione.
Gaccione.
Right?
I think that's Gaccione. Hey,
Gaccione. G-A-C-C-I-O-N-E.
That's the game you play with Italians when they try and grab your nose.
Gaccione.
Gaccione.
At Ancient Wisdom, D-U-M-B.
There you go.
Kentucky man, this is the headline, sues employer over birthday party. A Kentucky man took his employer to court after they threw him a birthday party he didn't want. And I'm telling you right now, he is not the dumb person in this story.
I actually heard this story. I actually heard this one.
Let's get into the details. So it was a birthday party he didn't want. And a lot of people are like, just don't throw me.
Right.
I don't want to be reminded
how old I am.
That's
like when someone doesn't ask you and they give you a puppy for a gift.
He is 100%.
Take care of this now? Now I can't go on a trip.
100% not the dumb person in this story for suing them. Okay. The plaintiff, an employee of Gravity Diagnostics, sued his employer. Sued his employer after the fallout of a birthday party they threw for him in August. I have an August birthday. I get it.
Yeah.
According to court documents, the employee had notified the office manager that birthday parties trigger his anxiety disorder and that, quote, being the center of attention will cause him to have a panic attack.
Yeah. Whoa. He doesn't want it.
He doesn't want it.
He's out in front of this. He's saying, hey,
guys, this is my story.
Right. My birthday. You know what you can do for me? Nothing.
Give me a massage.
Just leave me alone.
Get me a gift certificate for a massage. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I don't want to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
Fair warning about that as well.
Yes. The employee asked the office manager days before his birthday in August to not arrange a birthday celebration as they did for other employees.
So the manager hears this, then turns around and says to everybody, he wants it.
Right.
He's saying this, but.
Don't listen to fake Jake. He wants that cake. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Then, on August 7th, 2 days after my birthday, or more importantly, 4 months and 5 days before the Sklar's birthday.
3 days after my daughter's birthday. There you go.
On August 7th, the employee's birthday. The office arranged for a lunchtime birthday party in the lunchroom for him.
He doesn't want it. He said no.
Days ahead of it. It's not like he got it the day like, hey, we're having a birthday party for today. And he goes, oh, you know what? Can we not?
No.
He said it in advance before anybody went and bought a goddamn sheet cake.
Here's what I don't want. That's like
someone, I don't want everything.
Dan, that is literally like someone saying, I am allergic to peanuts. And then them saying, here's a peanut butter sandwich.
Right.
Eat it.
We made it for you.
And you have to eat it.
I forgot to tell you.
Those things that you just ate, there's peanuts in them.
I was on a plane once before Southwest got rid of peanuts, and it was still in that window of like they would have to not serve them if someone had a peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. And these people who were being problematic, they eventually said, we have peanut allergies. And so then the flight attendant, I did a whole Twitter thread about this. The flight attendant, who had a gorgeous ponytail, he grabs the mic up.
Martial arts expert.
The PA up front, and he goes, well, I guess we can't have any fun today because we're not having peanuts because two people say they're allergic. And I was like, I don't think you can say that.
I don't think you can say it, but
they were, I had
doubled,
an interaction
he doubled
with
them out.
They were assholes. So I think he felt like they were lying.
Yeah, they probably were saying that just to get him. You're saying they cried peanut.
Yes.
Man.
You can't cry peanut if you're an asshole.
The employee, this is now it's his birthday, it's August 7th. He told these people, these
Please don't.
These a-holes. Well, in advance. I do
please
not want
do
him
to not do a party.
He said that he found out about the party as he was headed to his lunch break to go do his own thing.
Yeah.
Which triggered a panic attack, which he told you it would do because he does it. It gives him anxiety.
There you go.
The incident caused the employee.
They want to see him have a panic attack.
The incident caused the employee to, quote, leave the office suddenly and spend his lunch break in his car. Mm-hmm. The employee sent a text message to the office manager asking why she failed to accommodate his request to not have a party.
He's
and I'll tell
right.
you why. Because Deb doesn't give a shit.
That's right.
She makes it about her.
She doesn't believe it. She's right. like, she tells depressed people, get over
get
it.
Get over it.
Walk it off.
Right. Turn that frown upside
idiot.
Down. Why
She's
are you so sad?
The next day, the employee was called into a meeting in which he said he was, quote, confronted and criticized by the office manager about his reaction to the birthday party. Oh, you mean the one I didn't want?
So now you're going to give him more attention by singling him out.
Well, you shouldn't have been born if you didn't want to have a birthday party.
It's like, hey, we can't stop the birthday party from happening. Yeah, you can.
Oh, you don't want to celebrate anything?
Okay.
You don't like celebrations?
Scott, Dan, it's like the guy who grabbed the microphone, the ponytail, the martial artist slash Southwest
airline.
He's like, okay. Oh, I guess we can't have fun at the office because of Jim over here.
Right. Have you? Do you celebrate your birthday, Baron? Are you
kind
a birthday
of,
celebrator?
Kind
what
of.
Do you
I
like? What is
to,
a good birthday for you?
Yeah, like give me a perfect Baron Von birthday.
I mean, honestly, I like things to be really chill. You know,
yes.
I like a simple meal and mm-hmm. a slow day. That's yeah.
perfect.
What I like.
Right?
I think in the future I'm going to experiment with like trips.
Yeah.
See, do it.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
But the
Love
key
it.
Is, it's your call.
At
right?
your
right.
pace.
It's your terms.
At your pace, your term, your calls. No one else gets to be like, hey, Baron, it's your birthday. We did all this for you. You're going to go bowling. You're going to go skydiving. We're going to then
you're
going to
do bungee jumping. You're like, yeah, but I'm afraid of heights. Yeah.
Well, it's your birthday.
It's your birthday.
I didn't realize you
I
hate
already
people.
Paid for it.
Yeah. I didn't realize you hate friends. We already scheduled it. Okay.
It's almost, there are sometimes you do run into people who can't fathom why you don't love the thing they love.
They love.
Like, they're like, what do you mean you don't like outdoor music festival in August?
What do you mean you don't like Rottweilers?
Right. But they are great dogs.
They are.
So then he says, here's what happened. He gets criticized, right?
Wow.
And confronted by the office manager.
Yeah.
That meeting then triggered another panic attack.
Of course.
And
the employee asked the office manager to stop. So they're also being like, hey, can we stop? This yeah. thing because you're just yelling at me for not wanting a birthday party I told you I didn't want to have that you threw anyway.
Right.
So can we just stop that?
Wow.
The employee
it's got
was
personal
then,
quick.
The employee was then sent home for the next 2 days.
Let's make it.
And that
more
weekend
of
he was notified that he was fired over the weekend because of the events of the previous week.
Uh-uh.
Wow.
I told
Three
you
strikes.
He is not the dumb person in this story.
I cannot believe. I mean, run the diagnostics on this thing here.
The employee sued Gravity Diagnostics on the grounds of disability discrimination and retaliation.
Don't heavy, that's heavy
stuff.
They
that's
don't
heavy
know the gravity wow. of this situation.
According to the lawsuit, the employee said because Gravity Diagnostics didn't accommodate his anxiety disorder, the birthday party and the events afterward caused him to suffer a loss of income and benefits and emotional distress and mental anxiety, which he told you I'm
he's
trying
right.
to avoid.
He's right.
It's not like this. It's not like this happened and then he's like, oh, this made me feel this way, so I'm mad at you.
No.
Which could still have validity. I'm not saying it couldn't.
He forewarned it.
Yes.
He explained.
He tried to avoid this.
He prognosticated.
The jury.
Wow.
The jury sided with the employee.
Of course, they did.
That Gravity Diagnostics violated Kentucky law. Didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. That protects workers.
What, that Kentucky has laws?
That protects workers who have a disability from adverse employment actions.
Wow.
We'll get out of here on this.
How much did he win in the
in
case?
Total, the jury Uh-oh. Awarded the employee how much in damages? Baron?
What if city in Kentucky was this?
Is it don't
Lexington
know that
or no?
it says.
Is it Louisville? Is it Lexington?
I don't know that it says.
It doesn't
say.
Those are the only two places in Kentucky
What's
I know.
The diagnostics?
That's the only two.
What's the name of the diagnostics?
Gravity
diagnostics.
Gravity diagnostics.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to say, $250,000.
Whoa.
$250,000.
That's legit. God, and it's kind of right. He does deserve it. Ram, what do you think?
It's in Northern Kentucky.
Next.
I know
it's in
that.
Northern Kentucky.
Jay?
So probably, all right, I'm going to say.
250, you said, Baron?
Yeah.
I'm going to say $80,000.
$80,000.
Like a year's salary.
Kenton
year's.
County.
Wait, I get to do mine.
I know.
I think it is, I think he was awarded like
$700,000.
$700,000.
This is traumatizing. Traumatizing.
Looks like it's Kenton County is near the border of Ohio, so it's up north.
Cincinnati. Okay. It's Cincinnati, Louisville, that sort of area.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. The total money awarded to the Kentucky man who said, hey, don't throw me a birthday party. And they're like, screw you. We don't care how you feel about things. And he goes, and well, that's not how things work.
And then fired him.
Yeah, and then fired him. He was awarded $450,000. I'm going to go Barron.
You said Barron.
Yeah,
$250,000. Yeah, but you were closest.
Of that amount, $300,000 was for emotional distress, while $150,000 was for lost wages.
I'm just going to say that can buy a lot of birthday cake if he wants.
He does.
He wants to have a party. Himself. He could have a killer party now.
He doesn't have to have it,
Barron. Just for his guys, don't give him a party. He doesn't want to celebrate.
Dude, you could throw such a fun party.
Oh, my God. Think of how much fun he
I won the lawsuit party is a very specific kind of party, though. That's
the one thing he'll celebrate.
That won't trigger him at all.
Yeah.
Because he's like, exactly. I won.
Oh, it's lawsuit day.
Lawsuit day.
You know why? Because you know who's the focus of that? The Justice Department. That's got it right. There you go.
Story number two.
Story number two. Dan, give us a little taste of what we're getting in story number three.
Oh, we fall through the ceiling.
Fall through the ceiling. And once I love again. Every time we do. We're constantly falling through the ceiling. For Patreon fans, we're going to talk to Barron Vaughn if he's got a dumb story that either he did something dumb. We all do dumb things. He witnessed something dumb or just something dumb happened nearby him in proximity.
He's a parent, so I'm guessing. Like, as a dad, he's done some.
We're going to talk about it. all of that's on the other side of the break. It's Dumb People Town with the great Barron Vaughn. Don't go anywhere.
Stick around. Make a sound for more Dumb People Town.
All right, Daniel, take us home.
Okay.
Buddy.
This was sent in by 3/4 geek at 3/4 geek. The three is the number. The fourth is the word.
Great.
And then it's geek, E-E. Also, they sent this to me because they did it on Twitter, which is the way to do it. At Daniel Van Kirk, hashtag Dumb People Town. That's how I find these stories that you guys send in to me. And I've seen a lot of new names recently, and I love it.
Super cool.
Okay. Inmate falls through ceiling trying to escape from jail. This takes place in Indiana.
People are still trying to escape from jail, guys.
Might have heard this too.
An inmate fell through the ceiling while trying to escape from a jail in Indiana. Jackson County Sheriff Rick Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a cop name.
Rick Meyer.
It literally is because he's a Jackson County
Rick
Sheriff.
Rick Meyer.
Sheriff Rick Meyer. Yep. Posted on Facebook that a man by the last name of Ayers bolted from officers and locked himself in a medical room on Monday. This is a quick little dumb story.
Then he tried to climb through the ceiling and get out of
when
that room.
When officers got into the room, Ayers had made his way into the ceiling. The sheriff says that Ayers...
He's up in the ceiling.
Eventually fell through the ceiling and onto the floor of the jail's booking area. He literally went right back to where you start going into jail.
Sir, we're going to need you to come.
There's a museum in St. Louis called the Children's Museum.
It's a wild place.
I thought it was the St. Louis
Museum. St. Louis Museum.
That's the one with all the levels and the crazy slides and everything.
And
right?
There's areas where you climb into these like tunnels, and then all of a sudden your kid's like in the ceiling, and you don't know where they are. And there's like
it is weird.
I mean, it is fun to just walk in.
We
and
said
watch.
It's like a stress test for every marriage because like the second your kid goes up into the roof, it's like why didn't you go in there with him? We don't know where he is.
I'm going to the bar that strangely serves alcohol next to all the other kids.
And then,
you but handle also, it, honey. You handle
like,
it.
You wanted to like, come I here. Can't fit into that thing. It's like, well, you also can't fit into your 34 pants anymore. Okay. So now it's like that fight.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's up in the ceiling.
That's so in the ceiling.
This guy's up in the ceiling.
Wow. I would like. I'm looking at the ceiling we're in right now. You would. There's no way you wouldn't fall, right?
Yeah. You. There's too much weight on each of these things.
Yes. 100%.
Do you have an exposed ceiling?
Here. Maybe, we just have a drop. Just a drop tile.
Drop tile. Like, to me, it's
I have no idea what that means.
You know, the little panels that you can push up. The little
grid. Oh, yeah, the panels. Yeah,
it's like every, cubicle office building kind of a ceiling, you know.
Right.
I'm assuming that's I'm assuming that's what they have at the courthouse, right?
I would think so, too. The idea that you would be able to, anyway, he refused to surrender, which I'd be like, well, dude, you went back to booking. You've already surrendered.
Once you fall through, you're done. You're done. Booking. Game over.
So then they had to stun him. Well, the stun gun, which I'm fine with because if he's fighting and stuff like that.
Dan, as he's falling through the ceiling, it should have made the noise that a video game makes when you die.
Yeah, for sure. He was treated for minor injuries and charged with attempted escape and criminal mischief.
I mean, it's It's the ultimate.
He gets up to you, like, where are you going, Ayers? You want to take a left. Do not go right. And then, of course, he thinks that's reverse psychology. So
goes right, falls right down
back into booking.
And then it would have been the best if he fell back down into a
into
cell.
His own cell.
Into his own cell.
Hilarious.
Full circle.
Although, so, but if you have cells with drop-top ceilings, you're just asking for people to go up.
That's
game.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true. That has to have like a cell.
Quick little story number three, everybody.
There you go. Little something for you.
Yeah.
Dumb People Town fans, again, can you mention what the new show is that you're shooting? You mentioned to our Patreon fans.
Absolutely. The new show that I just shot up in Toronto, I think it's going to be out next year, is called Accused.
Ooh, it is where's it going to be?
Adaptation of a British show
Seagull.
Of the same name. It's going to be on Fox,
nice.
I think.
Okay.
Awesome.
It's Fox. A drama.
A drama. Right. Do you get to be funny in it at all?
Ironically, yes. In this episode, it's like an anthology series.
Oh,
so
nice.
So this episode was about comedians, and it was me and Whitney Cummings playing
awesome.
Best friends at a comedy club, and this dramatic event happens.
Okay.
And I'll leave that for
the
show.
Yeah, don't say anything else. Yeah.
Wow. I love this anthology series. This is fantastic. Well, look, man, you are a star.
And Marilyn Ricegub was in it too.
Oh, nice. Oh, my God. I love everybody in this thing. All right. So you are a star ascendant as always. All the stuff you do, we absolutely love. Baron Vaughn, thank you for joining us in Dumb People Town.
Dumb, 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 dumb. Make a sound, bunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Star Burns Audio, a podcast network.